a lot of the people that work at this business could be working anywhere. Like Vish, I mentioned our tiger. He worked at Amazon as a VP of engineering. He worked at AT&T as a VP of engineering, Yahoo, all those great, he built those ad platforms that they have, and he could work anywhere, but he is so excited by what we're doing that he wants to be here and wants to be here working on something that no one's ever done before. And I can't tell you how excited I am about it to have, you know, a concept in my mind actually come to fruition and be working on something that I created and with a fantastic team of partners. And I wouldn't trade it for the world.
You're listening to Hooked on Startups, where every week you'll hear from some of the most talented, inspiring, and successful entrepreneurs who share their real life stories, how they overcame challenges and failures, and how they mastered success. Get ready for some of the best business tips, tricks and tactics, and some frank, unscripted discussions. Here's your host, Matthew Sullivan.
Today on Hooked on Startups, I am absolutely delighted to have none other than Justin Parnell, who is the Chief Marketing Officer of this fabulously named company, Logistify. So, Justin, welcome to Hooked on Startups.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Matthew. I'm really excited to chat with you today.
And I think we need to disclose something absolutely critical here, Justin, in terms of what you have given up to be on the show right now.
I just finished meeting with my leadership team, and they are taking a lunch break right now for an all-you-can-eat Indian buffet in Santana Row here in San Jose, and I'm missing out on it. And they're actually texting me pictures right now of all the great butter chicken and everything that they're having. So I'm dying here, Matthew, but it's great to be with you. Thank you.
So that's what we, when we talk about sacrifice, this is living, breathing sacrifice. This is the kind of pain and torture that entrepreneurs go through. I mean, do you understand how? I mean, yeah. I'm beginning to sort of dribble here just at the thought of butter chicken. So I am suffering with you in this for the greater good of our listeners.
Great. Well, I'm glad I'm not alone in suffering through this lunch break. But if you're not prepared to skip a meal or two, then startup's going to be a tough culture for you.
For sure. That's going to be one of the greatest. and just in case, it does get a little more challenging than just having to skip meals, just to put things in perspective. But you have created, you and your team, you've created this brilliant company called Logistify. And I think what you've done is solve a massive problem that really is preventing a lot of take up of social media apps, and not so social media apps, but just a lot of sort of real life interactions, because people are afraid. So tell us a little bit about what Logistify does, because you'll do a much better job than I will.
No worries. And thanks for the kudos there. But yeah, Logistify is a mobile consumer app that allows people to verify the people that they meet are who they claim to be. We've taken a novel approach to this, and we allow people to link multiple social media accounts together in order to verify that, yes, I am the person that you're actually meeting, and yes, this is how I represent myself, both online and to other people. The platforms that we're integrated with today are really the big ones that you would think about: the Facebook, the LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Tinder for the online daters of the world, and Gmail, right? So any user can download the Logistify app, create a profile, link as many of those networks together as they want. And what we do is we take a look at your background by social network and the accuracy across each network to make sure that you are actually Justin, right? Like, you're Justin Parnell, you're the CMO at Logistify. That all corresponds in each network, that matches up, and you're the only person that has the login information to each one of those accounts, right? So that's really where it happens in real time, and you can verify somebody within a matter of seconds of meeting them, right? You can ask them to do the same thing.
Let's talk about the problem. Okay. So let's find out from you what the problem was. Where was that moment where you went, hang on, you know, this is a real problem for me, because I like this ride sharing idea, but, you know.
Absolutely.
So what was, for what me, made yes. you come up with this idea?
So yeah, so you've also hit on the other point of things, and I am the co-founder of the business, and it was actually a problem in my day-to-day life that inspired the idea for what we call social verification. And so I was living in LA at the time, which I know you're familiar with the area. I had moved from Atlanta, Georgia, where I'm originally from, and I was involved in meeting new people online via meetup groups, via online dating sites at the time, right? I was new to the area looking to make new connections. And one thing that I learned is that a lot of people via social media and digital platforms are able to misrepresent themselves, sometimes in a very mundane way, right? Like maybe I'm, instead of saying that I'm 30, which I am, I might want to say, represent myself as 28, right? And for whatever reason. Maybe it's more severe, right, and more malicious, and it's something where you are trying to misrepresent yourself as a doctor when you aren't really a doctor, right? And that would be a pretty big red flag. And then what I learned through my experiences is, you know, it would really be nice if on the front end, meeting people online and offline, if there were a simple way for me to verify that, hey, you know, this person is who they claim to be. They have nothing to hide, and they're very genuine about who they are. I started thinking about it in my mind, and at the time, I was like, well, I could check Facebook, but you know, people could put whatever they want on Facebook. I could try to check LinkedIn. You could do a Google search for anybody, and a myriad of things come back when you do that, most of them inaccurate. And I was like, there's really no foolproof way to solve for this. And I was like, but wouldn't it be cool if you were the owner of your online identity, right? Via so many social accounts that you have nowadays, you could link them all together and say, no, I am who I claim to be. This is actually me. And this is how I look on every social network out there, right? And the advantages to doing that are, there are a lot of them. But one of them that I enjoy the most and our clients enjoy the most is the accuracy and the how quick the data comes back, right? We find that if you overlay just two social networks on top of each other, the accuracy of the data is about 95%, right? So the things that match platform to platform are about 95% accurate. And it's completely opt-in and permission-based. So you can opt in to sharing your information with people to verify yourself, or you can opt out of it. And if you decide you don't want to be found on Legitify anymore, you want to exit the network, we completely understand. We allow our users to delete their accounts and all their information's gone. You walk away and we don't keep anything about our users at that point. So, or our previous users at that point. So we're very, very sensitive to privacy standards as well.
And what is really fascinating is the amount of information that is available about you online.
So yeah.
And I remember talking to someone recently about how with Facebook, for example, you could give them your name, and within, you know, a few minutes, they could create a profile of you without you knowing who, without you giving them any more information based on your social media. So did you find that once you sort of open that Pandora's box, as it were, how much information is available to you? From not just the social networks, but from government agencies that's freely available. Is it astonishing how much information is out there about you as an individual?
It really, really is. And a lot of the what I refer to as the old model of data and big data, as it were, it's really incredible what exists out there about us, right? And if you go out and you try to look yourself up on, let's say, Checker or People Finder or something like that, one of the big data houses that house public records, you'll find a lot of things that they claim to know about you are maybe stale, maybe they're old, or maybe they're inaccurate. And if you knew that you were being portrayed in that way online or to other people, you might be a little bit concerned about it. You know, it's typically a little dated, and you have no control over changing the way that they're representing you in these public records. No one has any control over it. Once it's in a public record, it's you're at the mercy of whoever owns that record, be it the government, be it, you know, a census or whatnot that's out there about you. And that data has probably changed in the fast-paced world that we live in today. And one of the things that we're incredibly proud of and incredibly confident in is how real time our data is, and how if you want to change the way you're represented, you should be able to do that, right? You should be able to be in full control of your identity and how you're represented to other people. So on Legitify, if you don't like the way that you're being represented via your social media, guess what? You can go right back to that profile, update your data, and our profile updates in real time, right? Next time you log into Legitify, your new information will be displayed. A lot of customers that use our platform, they're shocked to tell us, hey, I had no idea that these were my interests on Facebook. I have no idea. I had no idea that my job title showing up on Facebook was from 2 years ago, and I work at a new company now. And it's surprising for them too, right? When they actually see how, the way that they're representing themselves to other people online. The Pandora's box, as you put it, we're really starting to see a lot of things come out of that. That as we acquire more and more users, and especially internationally, how deep that box is, and in some cases internationally, the consumer experience and user behavior and people's online identity is completely different than what it is in the United States. So it's a very, very interesting business that we've created.
So do you think that what you've created really will unlock a whole new breed of sort of app developments? Because at the moment, a lot of the activity happens in cyberspace. It happens, you know, not in real life. And I think there's a new phrase now. When, you know, when we talk about friends, we talk about our friends and our real friends. So, do you think that Legitify sort of crosses or enables a bridge between those two worlds?
Absolutely. And that's a really great point that you just brought up. One thing that we're doing is looking at your circles of friends, right? And one thing that we're providing users is the ability to learn, hey, how do my friends overlap from platform to platform, right? Who of my Facebook friends actually follows me on Instagram and then is connected to me on LinkedIn? And then is, you know, how strong is that connection, right? Who are my real friends, as you put it? We also allow you to take your contacts list from your phone and then say, hey, of all the people that I have saved in my phone, am I even friends with them on social media, right? Are they even my friends on Facebook? Are they my followers on Instagram? And we're providing a whole new level of contact intelligence in our next update that is going to identify, hey, yeah, this person is not only your friend, they're also on Legitify. And then you guys are connected on all of these other social platforms as well. And it's something that as this world grows, you really want to know who your friends are. I think they'll come up with a new phrase, right? They say, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. It'll be keep your real friends closest and your followers, you know, a little bit closer.
But you're right. And that's a fascinating development, because I suppose once you, now that you're on this journey and you're seeing the sort of results that you're getting.
Yeah.
You know, you must be seeing all these different sorts of opportunities, because what I'm hearing there as well is, aside from the you know, figuring out who I am actually dealing with, from a social network perspective, if you can tell me who of all of my friends is useful and who isn't, effectively, because, you know, there's a great argument for saying, well, if you've got no traction or if you've got no engagement with your friends on Facebook, then, you know, why do you have them? So do you think are we moving into sort of social media 2.0 with this feedback information that you've got?
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the things that we think might be a future implementation of what we're doing is micro CRMs, right? For people in their social media and their contact list, right? So as you said, if your Facebook followers or friends are not engaging with you, maybe they aren't really that close of a connection, right? Maybe they're just a casual person who liked your page or a comment that you might have had at one point in time, but really they aren't of value to you, right? And we start looking at like better ways to message people, and maybe even providing like a one-stop shop on your phone where you could have like a social CRM, as it were, right? All in one stop. And that's something that we are interested in exploring more as we get down the road. Right now, we're in the middle of raising our Series A funding, and that's one of the technology roadmaps that we're eventually going to go down, is exploring social CRM functions and micro CRMs on people's phones. So
I guess the real challenge for you is to stay focused. You know, because I mean that in the best possible way, because it's almost like you've got a tiger by the tail here, because now you've got this technology that you know works, and there is a definite need for this. So you're not creating... You know, I was walking around the Tech LA show yesterday, and there was about 100 booths with some of the nichest products I've ever come across, which I really couldn't see the value. But with what you've got, you can see it's a real value, because it's an old world value. So in other words, I'm not going to deal with you unless I know you. And I might know you from personal recommendation, or someone might vouch for you. And that's it. So you're really just bringing into, I suppose, the online world, a key part of the offline world. So,
exactly. And one of the things is, you know, that we think that this really enforces in the digital community is personal trust, right? And that's something that our society is built on, right? In the offline world, and it really doesn't exist in a verified way online. And you mentioned vouching. Vouching is actually a current feature of our app, where you can vouch for your contacts and ask other people to vouch for you, letting them know that, hey, yeah, Justin is reputable. This is actually Justin. I know Justin and I vouch for him. We actually show users a list of all the people that have vouched for you, so that you know who is actually signing off. And in Nigeria, for instance, in order to get a job, you have to have a guarantor, right? Someone who will sign for you as being who you claim to be, which is a market that we're entering right now. And they are a big believer in personal trust and offline verification, right? So we're really trying to bring that to the crazy digital world that exists now. And I feel like philosophically, the pendulum has swung very far in the realm of anonymity online, and being able to put on what I refer to as a digital mask instead of actually having your face be like, you know, who you are, right? And I think that there's a vacuum that's created by that, where we have an opportunity to bring that personal trust and connectedness back to the online community. So
how do you deal with situations though where someone goes online and, you know, who writes the bit of code that says, you know what, you're not quite, you know, you're not who you say you are.
You're not legit. Yeah. So on our profiles, we have what we call a profile completeness meter. And that basically is letting users know that how legit you look online. We have basically built an algorithm that scores all of your profiles based on all kinds of factors. Some of the highest weighted factors are how old is this profile and how robust is this profile, and then how active is it, right? Is your Facebook profile a week old and you only have two friends and you've never commented or liked another post on Facebook? Well, maybe you're not as legit, you know, as someone who has a five-year-old Facebook profile with 800 friends and is constantly commenting and liking other photos. Chances are, that person's legit, right? They're a real person. And then it's really a question of how does your information match cross-platform, right? It's looking at, okay, we have a robust presence on one platform, but is that information matching across your LinkedIn, across your Instagram, across all your other accounts? And like I said, if we find that fields are matching in two or more profiles, we know that it's most likely 95% accurate. One of the things that is happening ongoing with our platform is as more and more users come into the platform, our algorithm is machine learning what fields are weighted the heaviest, right? And what fields carry more more value as far as recognizing if someone's legit. Is it, you know, photos that make people more legit? Is it more recent photos? And as we approach a critical mass of users, based on everyone's social media that's out there, our algorithm is constantly recalibrating and reweighting what is the most important factor in identifying if someone's legit. And I will give props to my CTO, Vish Kumar, who is our tiger here, as you say. He would love the tiger by the tail reference for sure. But he's the one who's built the entire platform. He took the concept from something that I had in my head and has brought it to life. And none of this would be possible without Vish. So,
and I think you're right. I think the real key with what you're doing is knowing what questions to ask.
Yes, exactly. And knowing what's most important, right? I mean, when we had our first 1,000 users come online and we were bringing in a lot of college students to the brand ambassador program, college users look a certain way, right? 90% of kids in college are very active on Instagram, right? Instagram is the most popular platform for them. And their presence is more robust there than it is on Facebook per se, right? Those users look completely different than somebody who comes in from a Google AdWords campaign looking to verify an online dating match, right? They may have an online dating profile and some other social keys that make them look legit in a totally different aspect, right? And it really is knowing what the most important things are and how to weight those things in order to come up with a legit identity.
And you talk about machine learning, which is the magical AI word.
Yes.
So do you find that your system is beginning to ask questions that you didn't anticipate based on the sort of responses that you're getting?
Yeah. So it's funny what it starts to learn and starts to say. And for whatever reason, it will weight things in a certain way because a lot of people that let's say come from Facebook have very recent photos, right? That they've liked or commented on. And it started to learn, for instance, when we entered Nigeria, that, hey, these people in this market aren't legit is what it was assuming because they didn't have a photo from the last year that they had uploaded to their Facebook profile. So then you have to kind of calibrate the machine a little bit and say, hey, in Nigeria, things are different, right? You need to look at this audience differently than you look at people from the United States. And machine learning, it's a great technology, but it's still being perfected, right? And I heard you speaking with someone else a couple of weeks ago about how social media is in like 9th grade or 10th grade as far as like a development prospect. I would say machine learning and AI, and I would agree with the gentleman that spoke previously, is probably in its infancy, right? We may be looking at like a kindergartner here or a pre-K technology, but it still needs some guardrails, if you will, right?
And also you're right, because what you're doing is you're plugging yourself into different cultures, because in just the US, if you look at the demographic breakdown, says, you can't ask one question of all people, because as you say, students do things differently to millennials and do things differently to, baby boomers. So it's this psychological journey that you must, or the journey that you're going on in terms of psychology, the science behind it must be fascinating.
It is fascinating. And what I like to refer to these people as is social creatures or social animals. And there's, like you said, from demographically, there are very different social animals, right? So we find that quite ironically, baby boomers are the most engaged on the Facebook platform and the most robust on Facebook. We find that, your millennials are not on LinkedIn at all, right? They're like less than 10% of millennials have a LinkedIn profile that's active until after college, right? So it's a different social animal. And what's really interesting is to see kind of like the components socially of each one of these people online. I actually liken it to like petals on a flower, right? And Facebook is like 5 of the petals and LinkedIn maybe 1 or 2, and then your Instagram's 3 petals, right? And every person is its own flower socially. So it is very fascinating. And some groups do shake out demographically, but I think that what we'll end up learning at the end of the day will shock a lot of people, right?
Yeah, and you mentioned trust earlier. So one of the interesting developments that you've probably been tracking as well is the developments in the blockchain, where one of the key objectives of the blockchain is to remove this concept of trust, because you replace it with certainty. So are you building almost like a human blockchain where because of all the data that's available on people, you can probably tell within a 99.3% certainty whether someone will do something. So do you find that you're beginning to create the ability to forecast how people will react or act in certain circumstances?
Yes, we are learning things that do give us psychographic targeting capabilities about what people are doing, right? Which is basically the mental intent to do something. You mentioned blockchain, which is something that I am fascinated with, and I think is a tremendous technology that's emerging out there. And I actually personally think that it's more valuable in and of itself than the cryptocurrencies that are out there, right? The technology is amazing. We are experimenting with blockchain ourselves. And what we're actually considering doing is creating an anonymized identity, right, in our database and allowing you to house all of your social media keys in a blockchain so that we don't even have access to log into your social account, only you do. And basically housing your identity as a legit ID that references a blockchain for all your social keys, right? And it's something that we're looking at developing here for first of all, for security with your social keys to make sure that we could never be hacked and no one could ever have access to your social keys other than you. Like we don't even have access to it, only you have access to it. And I think that blockchain and what we're doing kind of will go hand in hand, right? I think that we could be an overlay on a blockchain, right? That actually provides a layer of identity to who's using the blockchain.
I mean, in particular, in context. Just thinking in context of the recent security breach at Equifax, which affected, I don't know if you know, the numbers in the press are 140 something million people.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so, I'm a victim of the Equifax breach myself. I actually went online and looked it up, and I got the prompt. Your data was in the hack, so I'm very aware of that. And what we're doing is trying to make sure that that could never happen with us, right? Every company thinks, oh, that would never happen. It would never happen. It would never happen. How can we be secure enough to make sure that it won't happen? And we're very much aware of that. And that's why we want to implement something like a blockchain to make sure that if it's something as sensitive as identity, no one should have access to it but you, yes. Right? That's the most sensitive information that there is about a user out there. And in the case of Equifax, you could have people out there misrepresenting themselves as you, right? I think that's kind of where you're going here.
Well, what I'm thinking though is that what you're doing is you're creating this three-dimensional overlay on someone's identity where it's very, very difficult. It's relatively easy to say that I am this name, this address, this social security number. But to try and back that up by saying, I'm also that face there. I'm also, I think what you're doing is you're creating almost an identity layer, which is impossible to hack. I hate to use the word, but because you're drawing from so many different sources, that's a possibility, a possible application of what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. And one of the things that, we think is great is you're the only owner of all of these logins to all of these platforms. For someone to hack every single platform is nearly impossible. And then allowing somebody to legitify themselves, right, on top of all of the other offline data that's available really does create this new real-time digital authentication, if you will, of who you are. And that's exactly right. One of the things that I actually considered with this Equifax breach is that people could go out there and they could register at a bank with your social security number, your name, and try to get credit cards and whatnot, but they couldn't do that with all of your social accounts, right? If the bank required you to say, hey, okay, great, yeah, you've got your social identity, or you're not your social identity, but your offline identity, show me your social identity, right? Show me that key. And no one's going to have all of that, right? Because those are coming from so many different sources.
Yeah, particularly because, you can imagine it's very easy to spoof a picture of your face, but, to be able to answer questions, who are your closest friends? Who did you post last night? So the Equifax sort of questions that they ask, you know, what is your mother's maiden name? What is the name of your pet dog? It's now beginning to feel a bit sort of 18th century.
It's ID 1.0, right? We're more ID 2.0, I would say. The online and digital world is begging for something like this, right? And like I said, the pendulum swings very far in one direction, and then it swings back, as we all know. And I think what we're doing is kind of answering the need that's in the marketplace for this digital equivalent of identification.
Yeah, but I think what you've got goes far beyond just being, and forgive me for talking about it like this way, but this is not just an add-on app or an add-on sort of checkbox. What you're talking about is building something that fundamentally changes the way that we protect our identity. And in a world where identity is really, your online identity is all you have. It is more valuable than your real identity, because if you can't prove who you are, it doesn't matter how many times you bang on the door and try and, you know, show you the bits of paper. Your identity is stolen. So I think what you're doing is fundamental to the ability for these networks and for for technology to move forward. So, you know, you guys must be pretty excited about, as I said earlier, about what you've got and all these different possibilities.
Yeah, we are really excited. And one of the things that is becoming more and more prevalent in the international community is the need to identify yourself, especially in emerging markets. I mentioned Nigeria because we are entering that market as well as India right now. And in those marketplaces, people are moving at a rapid rate to hypercities, right? And they don't have a government ID system in Nigeria, right? There is not an ID system that exists from the government. The bank gives you an ID number, right? So that you can access your bank account. But how do I prove to anybody that I'm meeting in a hypercity internationally that I am who I claim to be, right? With refugee crisis, people fleeing, Syria right now are entering Eastern Europe. And a lot of the companies in Eastern Europe are looking at a way to, how do I identify who this is? Who are you, who have come from Syria with nothing, right? How can I identify you? And one of the things that they can rely on is their social, right? Yeah. What's out there digitally that is not relying on a central bank or a government to back you up, right? And it's actually something that they are adopting in some of the Eastern European countries to identify refugees.
Because it's also, it's very, very difficult to hack that. As you said earlier, it's very difficult to go in and, you know, you don't just tweak one field. But just to put things in perspective, I mean, Nigeria is either the largest or the second largest country in Africa. I think the largest is it Democratic Republic of Congo? I mean, I haven't Googled this, but, it's a huge country. So, Nigeria is a massive country. If you're talking about dealing in India as well, second, third largest population on the planet.
And the reason for it is because in those marketplaces, there's a dire day-to-day need to identify who you're dealing with. If you move to Lagos in Nigeria, right, it's a 13.7 million person city. That's bigger than any city in the United States. And when you're out transacting with people every day, meeting people every day, and you have to, you basically just have to trust that who you're dealing with is reputable, is who they claim to be, you have no way of verifying anything about the person that you're talking to. And in these hyper cities internationally, this is the use case for Legitify, and the need to trust people and vouch for people it exists in a vacuum, right? And to have that on your phone and be able to do that via social media so quickly and so easily, the use case for us there is a daily, multiple times a day thing, right? Where people need it every day, all day. Whereas here in the United States, we see it much more as transactional, right? Like you may need to identify a rideshare driver or a babysitter or a dog walker, right? You kind of just want to vet them, maybe a new hire that you're bringing onto your business. That's much more transactional. Maybe you do that once a month, twice a month. Whereas in emerging markets, it's every day you need to verify who you're dealing with. And in there, security is at a premium as well.
You're right. I mean, that's
to know that the people are trustworthy.
It's almost like the difference between a democracy and a kleptocracy, you know, where it's really bringing these types of technologies to, and that will unlock enormous amounts of trade and of commerce, because the moment you've got that trust foundation, that's what I think, you know, certainly holds back a lot of trade, and there's certainly a lot of international trade between some of these emerging economies. But and in terms of traction at the moment, you have people must be kicking your door down to try and sign up with you.
Yeah, no, we're adding, you know, about 60,000 new users every month, which is tremendous. We just crossed the 100,000. We launched the Legitify app in the middle of June. We just crossed the 100,000 user number, I think, last week. And the traction is picking up month over month. It's gaining tremendous steam. And as we bring all these new countries online, we find that users are, as soon as they hear about it and they start using it, once it gets to a critical mass, the snowball effect starts to take place, right? And it really takes off.
So. And also, I guess, the more you do it, the better your machine learning becomes. So it becomes, you know, better and better each day.
Absolutely. Yeah. The ability for us to identify who is legit, every new user helps us get better, right? Every new person that comes online, our machine learning is learning, hey, yeah, that's what I need to be paying attention to. These are the keys that tell me that this person is a legit and, you know, and someone that is not misrepresenting themselves online. So, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, I can tell you, well, for if you're raising your, so you've got your seed capital, so you've built, yeah, you know, probably the most exciting thing that I've come across, and you know, I guess
thank you.
The VCs must be lining up around the corner to give you their money.
Yeah, well, we're going to be at TechCrunch Disrupt next week, which is Monday through Wednesday. I will be working at our booth myself on Tuesday, and I'm taking meetings with VCs the entire time that I'm there. And yeah, we're right here in the San Jose Silicon Valley area, so we do get to meet with a lot of exciting potential partners. And one of the things that we're really looking for in a VC partner is someone who can facilitate relationships with other platforms, right? So I know that there are a lot of other technologies out there that could really benefit from what it is we're doing. And we want to find some partners that we could potentially integrate with via an API where we could help them identify that their users are legit as well. So we do hear from a lot of VCs, but we're really looking for the right partner, if you will, to join us on this path, which I, you know, is a luxury sometimes in the startup world. I went through the same thing in the seed round where everyone was, you know, saying, hey, I love what you're doing. I love what you're doing. I really hope that this takes off and we can, and it works out. But now that it's out there and now that it's proven, that coin has really turned, right? And we're in a position now where we want the right partner.
Are you tempted to turn up to some of these VC meetings wearing your pajamas, so that a la sort of, you know, Mark Zuckerberg from the
No. I show up wearing my Legitify t-shirt or my Legitify polo shirt, so I they know that I'm the real deal. So
which is fabulous. But it's great that you can now really hone in and say, well, you know, because if you're a VC and you have investee companies where this must be a very exciting technology because it takes their investments to the next level as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And one of the great things about approaching VCs is synergy, right? And one of the things that I think a lot of people in this world may take for granted in the struggle to get a business up and running and find investment capital is really identifying synergy with your investors, right? And as a VC, if from their perspective, they want to bring things into their portfolio that match what it is they're doing. we fit with so many different companies that, you know, it would be a no-brainer for a lot of people to say, hey, yeah, I could partner you with X, Y, and Z company in my portfolio and automatically pump a million people into Legitify, right?
Absolutely.
And it's going to benefit those companies to have more legit users and people that they can trust to transact with. And it's going to benefit this platform because this platform is going to grow like crazy. And really, it's like, you know, double dipping, if you will, for an investor with the right portfolio of companies.
So I guess with all of this ahead of you, so the lunch that your colleagues are having is, when's the next one going to be? And it probably about 6 months time from the sound of things.
Yeah, no, that's one of the things that we're really excited about right now is how busy we are. And the reason we're raising our Series A right now is for growth capital and investment in technology and personnel, right, to support what it is we're doing. We all are working all the time right now at the company. Right now, we have 15 employees, and everybody's working all the time. And that is one of the main focuses of this round of financing.
It's scaling. Which is fantastic. So it's very exciting. I mean, it must be just awe-inspiring to be at the beginning of something that has so many different, you know, so many opportunities, but most importantly, where you've established yourself, you've got traction, you've got hundreds of thousands of users, you know, and you're on a pathway that really just grows and grows, you know, every time you look at it.
I'll say this. A lot of the people that work at this business could be working anywhere. Like Vish, I mentioned our tiger. He worked at Amazon as a VP of engineering. He worked at AT&T as a VP of engineering, Yahoo, all those great, he built those ad platforms that they have, and he could work anywhere, but he is so excited by what we're doing that he wants to be here and wants to be here working on something that no one's ever done before. And I can't tell you how excited I am about it to have, you know, a concept in my mind actually come to fruition and be working on something that I created and with a fantastic team of partners. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. I wouldn't go back to, I used to be in digital advertising sales, right? I used to exist in that world, and I couldn't imagine myself going that now that I've embarked on this endeavor, and it's something that fuels me every day, drives me every day. I'm obsessed with getting a million users on our platform. It is my day-to-day obsession. And I can't wait to ring that bell and celebrate the next lunch in 6 months with the team. When they're like, you can't come to lunch with us until you have a million users. So
well, there's the incentive. I mean, you guys are going to get pretty hungry, I can tell you, but you know, it'll spur you on. Well,
hunger is important for the startup. I know that's the number one requirement is always stay hungry. So even if that means missing.
no, you're right. I mean, you can see and you can sort of be, you know, the enthusiasm and the passion is palpable. But so anyway, we are now at that time where I have to ask you my questionnaire.
Okay. All right.
Despite the fact that you've just created possibly the most amazing, application that man has ever seen, I'm going to bring it right down to basics, and we're going to borrow the questionnaire from James Lipton from Inside the Actors Studio. So, James, again, thank you. Your first question is: what is your favorite word?
Well, this one's going to be pretty easy for me. It is legit.
And the second question is, what is your least favorite word?
Okay, least favorite word would be unoriginal.
Yeah, that's sort of like the borrowing, the Me Too type thing.
Exactly.
Third question, what are you most excited about right now?
Right now, I am most excited about, actually the new iOS 11 update is really grabbing my attention as we're on a app, and there's a lot of really cool stuff happening with augmented reality where identification of people could play a major role. So I'm very excited about that right now.
And what turns you off right now?
I would actually say that I am a non-believer in cryptocurrencies. I think that they're a little bit of a bubble, and I believe that the actual concept of transacting with people via anonymity is only ever used in for the wrong reasons, and that will end up being the downfall of all of those companies.
Interesting. Well, and what sound or noise do you love?
I love the sound of cans opening. So if that's a can at happy hour or a can of tennis balls, I don't know. I just like that, like that sound, like when it first opens, you know, the pressure being released. So.
And what sound or noise do you hate?
I hate the noise of teeth scraping on silverware.
Teeth scraping on what? Sorry?
On silverware, on forks.
I get that. Yeah, I know what you mean. Oh, God. Just send shivers down my spine just thinking about it.
Oh, I know. That's the worst.
And what is your favorite curse word? Don't worry, we'll put a bleep on it or... we take this bit out for people of a sensitive disposition.
Okay. I would say that my favorite curse word is probably the one that gets the biggest reaction is the F word. So I'll help you out with that as well. I don't know if I should say it.
It is the universal curse word because it just is so applicable to every situation. So you're not alone there.
All right.
So what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Yeah, so I've always been interested in being like an agent for either athletes or actors or something like that. I think that would be really fun, representing a client and their interests.
And what profession would you not like to attempt?
I would not want to be in the profession of nuclear waste disposal.
I'm not going to ask why. It's obvious. It sounds very sort of Homer Simpson-esque. You know, if you get it wrong, then, you know, you glow green. So my last question, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
It would be pretty funny and awesome if he said, "Surprise, you made it."
Or something like, "Is this the real Justin?"
Yeah. That would be awesome. Yeah. No, I know. That would be so great. It was like, "I know that you're the real deal. I checked your Legitify."
I was going to say, the fact that you've managed to make it because God is using the Legitify app, then you know you've arrived. Yes.
That would be tremendous for sure. But yeah, the surprise you made it would be my what I'd like to hear the best.
Well, that's fantastic. So my last question, Justin, how do people get hold of you? How do they find out more about what you're doing at Legitify?
Absolutely. So first of all, you can download the app on the App Store or Google Play Store, and you can visit our website at legitify.com. We have our entire team is listed there. Our use cases for every walk of life are listed there, along with descriptive videos and more information about the business. If you want to reach out to me personally, my email is cmo@legitify.com.
Which is brilliant. That's great. And I think what you're doing is so exciting. I'm sure that, you know, you will be besieged. So you need to beef up your servers now because, you know, just the volume of inquiries is going to take them down.
Yeah, actually, that's a great point. We just upgraded servers this week. So
well, there you are. We're ready. We're ready for you. And listen, you know, have a fantastic week next week. So if people want to come and see you, which show are you at next week? So that's the week commencing 16-17, that's the 18th of September.
Yeah, so I will be at the security and privacy section of TechCrunch Disrupt of their Startup Alley. We'll have a booth there with t-shirts, sunglasses, and fun giveaways for everyone that stops by. So if you're at the event, please stop by and see me. If you miss me, feel free to email me again at cmo@legitify.com.
Which is brilliant, Justin. Thank you so much for being on Hooked on Startups. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I really look forward to following your progress. And, you know, when you're the next unicorn, I can say, you know, I spoke to you, you know, before you were famous. How about that?
Oh, sounds awesome. Thanks so much. Very flattering, Matthew. I appreciate your time and the opportunity to be on.